You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Good evening, Chef.
Evening, Tabela. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for asking. And yourself?
I'm awesome, man.
Fantastic. How was your day?
I'd say I'm still on leave.
Oh, you're still on leave.
After a hectic December.
I see. So you're like a rest in January.
Yeah, would say it's a bit of off peak for us.
Yeah.
At least you know, it's been a week of doing nothing and just preparing for the kids to go back to school.
I see.
To enjoy having to take them to school today on their first day.
You are definitely blessed, eh? Yeah. Definitely blessed. But also, by the way, I don't know if you still take Happy New Year's, but let me try Happy New Year.
Come to me.
Thank you so much. Really, really appreciate it. We're talking about your business today and what you do, which is quite interesting for me. I've never really had a conversation with a chef at this level, you know, where you are very close to the chef, very intimate to the chef. I must say that the only time I was intimate with the chef is on this other restaurant that I went to, and what happened was that, and I'm just now sharing in context to the discussion that we're going to have, you know, what happened there, Chef Michael, if you can indulge me, was that when I got there, the first people that met me were, I suppose, my hostess or people that, you know, manned the different tables and whatever, right? So they gave me like a bottle of water. Right, and they said, welcome. You know, there's this nice thing that you guys do when you get to it. You're like, sir. We're never called sirs anywhere. But, you know, when you get to a restaurant, they're like, sir. You're like, oh, okay, exactly.
So that when they get to taste the food, they feel they're already comfortable.
Oh, know? Is that the trick? I've always wondered. That's the trick. Oh, okay. I see. Now we know your secrets, right? So they gave me a bottle of water. I was like, this is really nice. And then the person that came to take my order was not the first lady. So I was like, okay, this is interesting. And then the manager of the restaurant came and said, hi, introduced himself. I'm here to take your order, which was quite strange for me because we're not used to that, right? So the manager took my order. After he took my order, went in, and then he said, oh, by the way, before he took my order, I was like, this is the chef special, so I would recommend it for the day. Like, okay, let me try it. So I ordered that chef special. Guess what? It wasn't only about the food that was the chef special for the day, but I also got to meet the chef as well because he came out of the kitchen then and was like, hi, I am the chef. I hear that you've ordered today's special. I was like, yeah, okay. So this is the treatment and this is what chefs do. So this is the second time that I'm actually talking to a chef. So maybe that's why I'm very excited about this conversation. So thank you, chef.
To me as well. We'll talk offline.
Okay, definitely.
I also love special treatment. You know, getting to meet the person behind the
exactly.
Some sort of so you were blessed to
I was blessed
to enjoyed that meal and saw the hands that prepared.
You see, I must say though, but like you're saying, it's a bribe because I couldn't find anything wrong with the food. Because I was like, I just got royal treatment, so I'm looking for something wrong here. I don't know if there was, but because of I'm now biased in my thinking, mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it's a strategy, this thing.
There's one key ingredient that distinguishes us from other people.
Okay.
It's, you know, the love element that you put in the work that you do. So you can put all the spices and all these ingredients, but that one thing, if it's not there, isn't it? Thing is perfect, but you'll still feel something missing.
I see.
You know? So I guess that's what the chef did. He served you with love, and you know that goes a mile.
Yeah, I know. He's a very clever chef, I must say this one.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into our conversation today. And once again, I just want to say thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. Earlier on, when we started the show, we had a quote, and I just want your thoughts on it, from Jeff Bezos, the apparent Jeff Bezos. And I think it fits very well with what we are talking about today. Jeff says one of the huge mistakes people make is that they try to force an interest on themselves. You don't choose your passions, but your passions choose you. Would you say this particular stream of being a chef chose you?
You know, if I were to tell you a bit about myself, I'm actually a BCom graduate.
Oh, okay.
You know, from high school, and I was excelling with accounting and math and stuff.
Yeah.
When I got to university, and I looked for a course that I would fit in. Obviously, with parents, you know, pushing you to go and extra mile and study. I went into the streamline of accounting, and I did that. Graduated, started working.
Yeah,
and as I was working, that's when I fell in love with cooking, and that came about with, you know, hosting people. Whenever there was an event at home,
yeah.
My friends would be hosting people and stuff. I would always be the one in the kitchen, you know. Ooh. So that's where the passion came. And at that time, I didn't know. I didn't know exactly what was happening with me. It was just me cooking for people and just enjoying the feedback coming from that. That added something to you know, towards my soul and stuff like that. It fed my soul, basically. Later on, when I figured, you know, what your statement says, you know, about following your passion and finding joy, and that you actually more passionate with than the thing that you actually try to set for yourself. Because accounting, to be honest with you, I'm fortunate because I'm operating a business, so whatever that I studied at school, I'm buying it.
Yeah,
so it's not any lost. I mean, you know, my parents didn't actually waste their money on me. But the core thing is having to wake up and plan menus for my clients because I'm more in the kitchen space. I don't have a restaurant as yet. I'm aspiring to towards that. You know, there's just waking up even at 2 o'clock, sitting on my desk and just drafting new menus and stuff for my clients, and some stuff that I couldn't do when I was in corporate.
Sure.
You know, waking up with a bit of a vision. Come 6 o'clock when the alarm rang, I was like, can I do 2 hours again?
Yeah.
So, I would say I'm really blessed to have been afforded to follow in what I'm really passionate about and what I enjoy and what I love.
So it sounds like it's also a creative space.
It is.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, when I was growing up, you know, when you have friends who draw stuff or make old cards and stuff, and you or play soccer, because I've been playing soccer is an art.
Yeah.
And you think you don't have any inch of talent in you. The only thing you know is study books.
Yes.
And on you fall in love with cooking, and you learn different techniques. And, you know, it's something that, you know, if you do it, like I said, with that ingredient of love, it'll take you'll find yourself even traveling
to
the furthest of places that you never thought you would, just to go experience the culture and the spices and the, you know, the flavors of that place, and bring back to implement in what you do on daily basis. So that's what I've come across in this artistic world of kitchen, of culinary.
Yeah. Well, they say that artists are the most blessed people because they are the few people that get to live their dream, their passion, what they like. The rest of us are just following through in life, you know, like we're doing what we have to survive. But y'all are like having a good time waking up at 2 a.m. I will never wake up at 2 a.m. for a job that I'm also like, I wanted this one. I'm just doing things because I have to do it. So for you to wake up at 2 a.m. means you are passionate. So people in the arts, and that's why I was asking this question, because it sounded very artistic and y'all are very much blessed. But when did the business start and what gave rise to the business?
I've been registered. I've registered the business officially in 2012.
Yeah.
And what actually pushed that was, you know, being in corporate.
Yeah.
I think that it, I was in corporate for over just over 12 years as well.
Sure.
I did a lot of things in corporate. You know, I started working in finance. I did. I moved to distribution sales. I just couldn't find where I fit into the system.
Yeah.
Which system, even qualification that I had.
Yeah.
And it was, I became so unhappy. I would use the word depression started kicking in because having waking up going to do what you don't love and what doesn't make sense. You know, it leads to that, and you wake up grumpy, you come back home grumpy, and eventually I resigned and I left it all, and I took a leap of faith and I sat down and I looked around me, and the only thing that made sense was going to the catering space.
Yeah.
Fortunately, while I was busy going through the decision of leaving work and stuff, one of my friends, her brother was getting married.
Yeah.
And he approached, so she has tasted my food before a couple of times when she visited my house with the staff.
Yeah.
And she suggested that, man, can you come and cook for my brother's wedding?
Yes.
And I was like, but come on, I only know how to cook for 20 people, max, or 30, you know? But come on, it won't be rocket science to for you.
Yes.
You're an absolute natural, and I wouldn't want to have anyone do that except you.
Yes.
I just asked how much are you willing to pay, and, you know, the figure that she suggested, you know, just slightly more than what I was getting from the job that I was returning from. And I was like, okay.
Jumped on it.
Why there is a leaping process,
you
know? Yeah. And it was God paving a way for me. It was God channeling me, saying my child possible.
Yeah.
Do not worry about anything as long as I'm by your side.
Yes.
And, you know, around that time is when I started really understanding what being Christian was. I started attending church a lot. You know, I gave my life and everything to him and said, you know, have your way with me.
Yeah.
Use me as I'm supposed to. And for me, cooking is not just art. It's not just making a living.
Yeah.
It's a way of ministering as well, because you come across a lot of people. That's what makes it easy. That's why it's easy for me to wake up at 2 and think of work and think of the client that I'm supposed to render a service to and how I'm going to take it, and, you know, the challenges that the client share with us, and, you know, planning on how to make it a very smooth service, and, you know, assisting them with going beyond the scope of work and just being there for them so that, you know, they can just feel the touch of God through the work that you do. So that's basically what brought about it. So for the past 12 years, that's what I've been doing. I'd say I've been running a church in my kitchen.
That's lovely. I'm actually thinking that I love that sentence where you say for you, cooking is not only an art, it's a way of ministering as well, you know. So at least when we eat your food, there's no listeriosis, you know, those type of things that we run the risk of.
blessed and highly
exactly, you know. As I'm saying, your food, at least we are quite safe with it, which, by the way, I was lamenting earlier on, you know, the good chef, it would have been great if he was here with the food and we could, you know, live stream. And but we'll do this some other time. Just putting it out there, chef. I'm just saying. Just saying. Yeah. No pressure, nothing like that.
No, that can be arranged.
Yes, definitely love that. So, chef, what would you say then makes your business different from all the other so-called culinary businesses out there? What about yours is different?
I think what separates me from other chefs or maybe other people that in service, it's you know, this, you know soul food.
Yeah.
Everything that I put in, I don't have a set way of what goes in what. It's how I woke up. It's how, you know, the everything that I do is based on my how I woke up the day.
Yes.
This will never taste the same.
Yeah,
that's one. So I meet my clients and I profile my clients first. Yeah. And I will, through meeting them, get to understand what kind of people they are, where they've been, how they would want the service to be rendered to them.
Yeah,
and you know, individualizing every service that I give according to how I profile my clients. I think that's the biggest thing that helps me to remain very distinctive from the rest of the guys that I'm you know, to the rest of my colleagues, I can put it that way. And you know, there's three culinary ways of preparing stuff, you know, chicken spice for chicken, fish spice for fish. And through my travels around the world and Africa, that has helped me a lot as well, you know, to bring in different in food and play around food as well, and put in really that artistic element, not just in the presentation but in the taste of the food. So I would say that you know, that cooking from the heart and adding that element of love really separates you on its own naturally from everything.
Yeah, it's almost like when people eat the food, they can tell that this was made with love. Hey, and chef, and it's a good thing that you're here. I've always wanted to ask this thing. Why do people six-gun everything? Like everywhere, in almost every household, there's a six-gun spice somewhere. And I'm always like, Mara, guys, why are we six-gunning everything?
No, those guys must have done a proper marketing for that.
I see.
But it's a one stop, I guess, especially for households.
Yeah.
It's the easiest thing ever, like having a million spices in your cupboard that will, because spices expire as well, and they start building those, you know, black things, and because you're not using them. So it's easy for every household. It's just like salt.
Yeah.
So it has replaced salt in your cupboards. But there are other six guns that can be used. You need to be more informed or have people like us that you interact with, and that will advise, you know, the six guns, they put this as well. So next time, take this and but I guess the six guns, the elderly love it, so that's why every household has it. It's like one of those.
It's a pandemic we must live in 2023. It must never come into 2024. Siyacela, hayi kabi, no.
But that's nice because with our, if you guys have six guns in your, that it gives us more work.
Yeah.
So that, you know, for you guys to get a different taste.
Okay.
So if you use it, keep on using it. Ah. If you hire my service, we get to make.
Chef, no, that's one of the things we should never bring into 2024. I feel like it will ruin everything. Imagine your life being six-gunned and ruined by a six-gun spice. Can't we just try nice themes like, you know, turmeric and thyme and parsley and all these other things?
The herbs.
Let's go the herb route, because we cannot six gun everything. But I'm glad you're here to answer me on this side, because it's been troubling me, I must be honest with you.
But you know, every country has that one key ingredient, you know, like just like South Africa. So six gun has placed itself along those traditional is it cultural day that we celebrate annually, it has to be there. When we do the Burafa, that must be well, just like with the chakalakas and them.
Hey,
you know,
yeah, we are chakalaking and six gunning, even sometimes a cabbage, we just six gun it, and life continues from there. Let's leave it in 2023. Now, tell me, Chef, you know, transitioning from being an employee to being, an entrepreneur, what would you say was the driving force and the one that keeps you going today? Because I'm pretty much sure this journey of entrepreneurship, yes, you might love what you're doing, but it's not an easy journey. What keeps you going, especially in a world where, especially in South Africa, you know, statistically speaking, 90% of small businesses fail within the first year or so, and it takes, I'm told, tenacity and all those sort of stuff to stay as an entrepreneur. What drives you?
I'd say my kids.
Ah, okay.
My kids might be driving force. You know, I'm a father to two beautiful girls. Yeah. 11, 9.
Yeah.
So morning when they wake up, go to school. Yeah. I can't stay in bed and wait for a call.
Yes.
I need to be proactive.
Yeah.
And find ways of getting myself known and prospecting for business. You know. And I have faced those challenges. You know, because our businesses, especially the catering space, is very seasonal.
Yeah.
You know, we work more around your wedding season.
Yes.
I wait for a birthday now and then. So it's not an everyday kind of
thing. Yeah.
But you know, COVID, as unfortunate as it was, it taught us a lot. It taught me a lot. Because it changed the whole focus that I had on prospecting for business. And you know, when people you know, the funeral business is an everyday business. So I started prospecting more. Seeing myself more with the funeral palace.
Yeah.
And being on their database as the main service provider. So that's where I'd say 70% of my business now it comes from there. And that's what's keeping this going every day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And what used to be 100% of my business has now become only 30% of what we make in a month.
Yeah.
So you just need to keep on being creative in terms of how to prospect your business and never lose faith. You know, there'll always be a gap somewhere. There'll always be a way, you know. So I guess that's one thing that keeps on. I mean, and having the background of finance and having been in sales, selling my business, becomes easy for me as well. Approaching people, telling them of what I do and what my service offering is all about, and you know, a package. It has become easier than just somebody that comes from culinary school and all they know is being in the kitchen, but they don't know how to operate the business side of things.
Yeah.
So I was fortunate to have that corporate experience before I followed my passion.
And then coming to raising finance, how did you do it? How difficult or easy was it? Because I'm pretty much sure those equipment that you use don't come in very cheap.
Discipline. Unfortunately for me, I haven't approached anyone for funding.
Oh, okay.
I've been building from the pocket.
Yeah.
From the onset, I remember when I started, and you know, I set my family down, I set my mom down and my dad. I told them, you know, I'm leaving work and I want to pursue this, and they were very scared.
Sure.
And they're like, but you have a car. Sure. How are you going to cover that? How are you going to? I'm like, you know, I'm at that point where my only trust and faith is in God.
Yes.
And so even you guys will have my back. And, you know, whenever things go sour, I'll look back and ask for assistance from you guys. But for now, I just know it is going to work.
Yeah.
You know? And my mom called my grandparents. My grandfather's like, I've got five warmers that are sitting in the garage. If you can take them. And my grandmother's like, I've got big pots.
Yeah.
So that's why I started with my family, the equipment that my family had. My mom gave some of a big pot as well.
Yes.
You know, that, you know, the society ladies would buy for each other.
Yeah.
And the beginning. And from there, every job, I made sure I go buy something, you know. So for the first 2 years, it was not making any profit from the business. I just disciplined myself enough just for us to live on just survive in my household. And but the business grows in terms of equipment and assets and stuff.
Yeah.
So, I was fortunate to have had that kind of discipline because, like I said, having a finance background, you know, you need to assets. You know, a business, not a business, it doesn't acquire its own assets. So they became the business assets. And then I started working on how do I make revenue with this asset without having to hire out equipment and keeping the money with the business.
Talking about, parents and family and I suppose kids as well, when you took the leap and jumped into entrepreneurship, how has this thing of running a business, particularly a seasonal business, and I understand there could be long hours at times, waking up very early in the morning, like you mentioned at 2 a.m., how has that affected your family? But also, how has it affected your typical day? I don't suspect you've got a typical day. It's always different.
Yeah. I always say my weekends are during the week. Monday is the first time I'm on weekends, and come weekend, it's a working day. It's working.
Yes.
When the kids are home and they want to spend the day with you and, you know, get to thing of bonding and stuff. But they've got to understand and they've got to actually respect what I do as well. As tough as it was for my parents, eventually they saw that this thing is what I love, and they started supporting me more. And fortunate for me, my dad is in business as well. Been in business for over 27 years now.
Yeah.
And he was excited actually, because then I was, for him, I was going to learn, the risky part of being in business and how to be responsible and stuff, and with hope take over the family business. And, so for him, it was a positive thing. And he's been very encouraging, I won't lie. Even today, I think he's one supporter. Whenever things don't work out the way I'm, I'll go to him for advice, and he would assist wherever he can.
Sure, there's that support.
And family, as long as, they've been very supportive for me, I won't lie. They've been my big bone. In this passion that I've chosen to follow.
Yeah.
And feeding people's souls through food.
Yeah, sure. You're quite blessed because, sometimes this entrepreneurship can destabilize a lot of families and, personal life and all those sort of stuff. And now you have to find yourself where you almost always have to choose between the two, and it's a precarious position to find oneself in. And you spoke about your first customer there when they were doing a wedding, a friend and all that. From there, how have you pivoted in terms of getting new customers? And I suppose there's a need to generate new ideas around food to attract more customers.
I'd say being the face of my business has helped a lot. I do.
Yeah.
I believe in word of mouth more than your mainstream marketing flyer, sending out flyers, and for me, what I would do, say at a wedding, just like what the chef did when that first time that you had an experience with the chef at a restaurant. After after we serve food and people are sitting down eating and stuff, I walk around to clear the. My team will assist, but I want to be amongst the people. And
feedback
is very important.
Yeah,
that's where you will get feedback. That's where you will improve your business.
Yeah.
to move greater heights, and that's where I get to make sure that people, when they leave, at least if every event, if I can exchange contact with 10 people, I know out of the 10, definitely 4 or 6, I will definitely get future business from them. So, especially having doing a lot of funerals and weddings, those mass kind of events, then you expose it to a wider audience that you get to act with, and they never forget a face. The beauty is that you will never forget that chef's face that came and introduced himself to you and made you feel special. That's how I promote my business. That's how I get future business, and people will never forget me. Even 5 years, I still get a client that like, we once catered for me for this. I can't remember. As long as I still want you back to come and do this for me now.
That's beautiful.
You create a bond with your clients and that multi business, because once you capture one client's heart, then you have the rest of the lifespan of your business and together with all the clients that come after this one.
So
basically that's how I work. That's how I multiply my business.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Do you find that what you had expected in entrepreneurship is panning out the way you had, or is there some sort of hurdles or one or two that maybe come to mind to say, "Yo, I thought this," and especially someone who was in finance and all those sort of stuff. I'm sure the spreadsheets and financial projections make sense on a spreadsheet, but in business, when you are doing this thing, you're like, "Hey." Yeah, I projected 5 years sales revenue, GP, and net profit of this much, but doesn't seem like it's going that way.
Tabelo, one projection that I had was by now I would have a Lamborghini in my
life. But
apart from that. But entrepreneurship and being in corporate. You learn to live, the biggest lesson that I've learned, you learn to live from your pocket. Unlike when I was still in corporate, I had acquired a lot of debt because it's easy when you have a pay slip. So I draft my own pay slip. When I wake up in the morning, I decide how much I want to make for myself. Then it changes your narrative of money and how to use your money and how to invest your money. So that's the biggest joy that came from it, having to have control of everything is upon me. If I want to be a millionaire, I need to put an effort of turning over business into that bracket. But it takes time. I would say, it's all work in progress. So far, so positive. And enjoying the journey. Believe you me, the plans that I have for this, I know they're just going to make it, twice better as it is now. It's just that one has to live in faith, has to, just keep your head up and focus and do the work.
Yeah. Definitely. As we draw to a close, just also speaking about, the journey that's ahead of you, 5 to 10 years from now, where do you see the business?
5 to 10 years from now, I wanna move it into a corporate space.
Okay.
I also want to be able to compete with big canteens that are occupying your biggest firms or buildings and you know, within our country.
Yeah.
I want us to be able to have a branch in all nine provinces, if possible, that can reach out and give service and minister through food and reach out to places where now it's a bit difficult for us to reach.
Sure.
And jobs as well.
Yeah.
The pinnacle of it.
Yeah.
Give people hope, give households hope.
Yeah.
By getting employment for them.
Yeah.
And that's the next phase of the business.
That's fantastic.
Packaging it and moving it in a corporate direction.
Yeah.
So all in God's speed. All in God's speed.
We're
working towards that.
Yeah. If you were to start all over again, what would you do differently?
In terms of starting up the business.
Yeah, the business. If you look back at the last couple of years, what is the one thing you're like, yo, if given an opportunity, I'd start all over again?
Funding. Funding, to be honest. It's only lately that you pick up that there is a lot of funding out there given by the government.
And yes.
It's only that I started applying for it. And that could have fast-tracked my moving this more into corporate.
Mm.
And at least now, things are starting to move in the right direction, you know?
Yes.
The focus between now and the coming 5 years to get proper funding to help build this thing properly, brand it properly, put it in a more competitive way so that people get to know about it as well. So that's the plan now.
Yeah.
And then like I said, what I would have done different was researched properly when before I started.
Yeah. You know,
what funding is available and use that efficiently to find things within the business, because there is business out there. But without the right, then everything moves very slow.
Yeah.
You
know?
I mean, have all resources in place so that you get to move at that pace.
Yeah. Let's rather end it on a very high note. What is the one moment so far in business when you're like, yes? I'm sure it was a check that was a couple of hundreds of thousands. We can gossip, chef. They're not listening.
Okay.
I'm saying, what is the one moment that when you look back at, you're like, yes, this is why I'm doing this entrepreneurship journey? I was just saying that maybe one of them is just that little check you signed for a couple of hundreds of thousands that you can share. Don't worry, they're not listening, chef, you know?
I would say last year when I turned 40.
I knew it.
I gifted myself. And then that was encouraged by my 11-year-old daughter then. And
yes.
She was like, Papa, you work so hard.
Yes.
And you know, like I said, the joys of entrepreneurship, it's learning to live from your pocket.
Yes.
You know, saving for
yes.
stuff.
Yeah.
And getting off the debt, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, so I gave myself generously last year.
Yeah.
Bought myself a nice sports car.
Ooh.
Not a Lamborghini.
Ooh.
But it was just me celebrating the 11 years that
Look
I've been
that.
In business.
Sure.
And having turning 40 and living my best life.
Ah.
And okay. doing what I love.
Oh.
And, you know, so
sure.
so I would say that it gave me that joy.
Oh, that's
so,
beautiful.
Yeah.
Sure,
so
that's beautiful. Ah, that's really beautiful. And so two things you owe me, chef, right? It's a plate and then a ride on the sports car, you know, just... You know, exactly. There are young people looking at you, you know, or even maybe your peers that are looking at you, looking at your journey. They might not necessarily want to be you, but do you encourage them, you know, when they look at you? What is the one message that you might have to them? And also, maybe more importantly, as we close it, there is, where can people book you, find you, social media, all those sort of stuff?
You know, I always say, live a life that you will leave a beautiful testimony.
Mm.
Being a deacon, you know, that makes it easy for me to reach out to easy people, to young people, and to have people that look up to you and having to encourage them and get, you know. So I always emphasize the fact that, you know, the fact that whatever you do, leave a legacy. Mm. You know, a testimony is the best legacy for those that come after you. You know, let's tell a story.
Yeah.
And you know, story, it's only nice when it has a happy ending.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
So you can go through all the hurdles in life. You can go through everything, but make sure that you ending. It's you end it on a high note and on that leave something that people will talk about.
Yes.
Beautiful. So that's how I live my life.
Sure.
And you know, every day when I get to and at the platform to sit and to stand and give encourage people and motivate. My life story is the blessing to others as well.
Mm.
People get encouraged. They see hope.
Mm.
And you know, so just life is the testimony, my guy. Live the most and make sure the ending, it's just beautiful.
Yeah, sure. And where can people find you, book you for your services?
They can find me on social media, Facebook and Instagram. It's Black on White.
Yeah.
Black on White Catering.
Okay.
And my contact numbers, I'm allowed to share that.
Yes.
My contact numbers are 079-887-4092. 079-887-4092.
Yeah. Okay, fantastic. Well, Chef, thank you so much for joining us this evening and just sharing your entrepreneurial journey with us and the things that you do. We do pray and hope that the Lord will continue to bless you and take you and your brand and the business itself to greater heights. I definitely look forward to that meal and that drive on the sports car. You know, these are things we should be celebrating. So all the best and thank you so much.
No, thanks, Cabello. Thanks a lot for the platform as well.
All the best.
And God bless you, man.
Thank
you're doing
so much.
Wonderful work. Eh?
Thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
All right. Have a good one.
So, thanks, man.
Bye.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
And to be honest with you, this is me being Christian,